All right, God, we just want to ask you to come hang with us tonight. And God, would you teach us? Would you speak to our hearts? God, I know a lot of us know a lot about Jesus already, but I wonder if maybe some of the things we believe about him aren't accurate, or maybe there are some things about him that we have yet to understand or know fully. So God, I pray that during this series, you would teach us more about yourself and that you would help us understand Jesus even more. Would you help us to go deeper? Would you give us a heart and a passion to know you? And God, I pray that you would help this whole room of students connect with you throughout the next several weeks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Cool. Hey, guys, what is the name of our series that we're starting tonight? Jesus-centered living, right? And the whole idea is basically this: making God the center of your life is the idea. But more specifically, knowing Jesus more and giving him your heart and help him follow him more. And there's no better way that I could think of to help you be more Jesus-centered than to give you these books for free so that you could spend time with God and know him more outside of youth group. I could do lesson after lesson after lesson, but unless you really embrace your walk with God and your relationship with God yourself and start growing on your own, then it's really not going to go very far if all you're doing is listening to me talk or coming on Sunday. You really got to make it a part of your everyday life. So the first thing I want to do is have you stand up and get a free book. So let me explain what the books are, and then you can go to the back table and grab one, okay? The top book is called Smart Stuff, and it is for all the middle schoolers, okay? Every middle school student gets the same book. If you're in 7th or 8th grade, it is an entire 30 days of time with God, and it is guaranteed to be less than 10 minutes. Okay? Do you think you could spare 10 minutes in your day to take some time and spend time with God? I hope so. And this book is particularly cool for middle school because it's all built around the book of Proverbs, and it's all very super practical, easy to grab, and it's not a ton of reading. There's some application questions. Spend a little time in the Bible, and then pray and you're done. It's kind of how it works. So middle schoolers, those books are right by Anna. And before you get up to grab those, let me explain the high school books. High schoolers, you're going to get three choices, okay? The first book, called Plugged In, is if you've been knowing God for a while and you've been growing and you just like to grow even more on things like discipleship and evangelism, reaching out and knowing God better, going deeper in your faith, that Plugged In book is a good one. If you are new to Christianity or a pretty new follower of God, or just like, hey, you know what, I want to renew my commitment to God and grow, 30 days of kind of renewing your heart and for God's mission and his purpose in your life, that is a great book as well. And then if you've been around a long time and you've done a lot of books where you've spent time with God and maybe you're a little bit bored with the normal plan or strategy, this book called Creative Times with God is a little more challenging, a little harder to do, but a little more creative. Let me give you a few examples. One of them might be, hey, read this part of the Bible and then write a poem that describes part of it. Okay. Or maybe it's read these like 10 passages and then compare what they all have to say about Jesus. So it's a little bit harder work sometimes. Other times it might say, hey, you know what? This time, today, I want you to go outside and I want you to go out in nature and I want you to observe some things in nature that you can see that point toward God. Okay? Or it might be write a creative story about how you feel about Jesus' forgiveness in your life. Okay, a little more creative. They're not all the same. They don't follow the same structure. I think one of them is if you had $100 and you could buy character qualities, and then it has a list of what the qualities would be and how much they cost for pretend, and they're going to kind of make up what kind of a friend or a person you would like to be and which ones would be most important as you kind of look at scripture and see how that fits. So anyway, a little more creative on that side of things. Again, they're designed to be 10 minutes or less just to spend some time with God. All right, once you got your book, grab a seat and then put your name in it. I'm going to give out a challenge. What is it? It is, what, October 21st? Can I challenge you this way? That between now and Thanksgiving, that you would finish that book. Is that a doable challenge? You have about a month, and there's about 30 days of time worth of God in there, okay? Here's what I'm going to probably do. I'm going to probably check in with your life group leaders, and we might even turn it into a little bit of a life group challenge and offer some pizza if you guys are reading and connecting. I would love for you to share what you're learning, too, in your life group. So we might even build that into our life group times. All right, you good? All right, sweet. All right, guys, the series that we're starting tonight is called Jesus-Centered Living, and the first one tonight is this, Who Do You Say I Am? Is the topic for tonight. There are five other topics that go with it. The next several weeks, I'll give you a quick heads up, is Jesus and his parables, Jesus and his best friends, Jesus, his true mission, Jesus and the supernatural, and the last one, Jesus, the sacrificial lamb, as we kind of move through the fall and lead up to Christmas time. How many of you guys have seen or know of the movie Anchorman or Anchorman 2 or whoever that works? Do you guys know this guy? Will Ferrell plays a character called Ron Burgundy, right? And we're going to watch a little video clip right now of Ron Burgundy interviewing Jesus, okay? And I want you, as you watch it, I want you to think about what are some misconceptions that that Ron Burgundy may have regarding the character of Jesus, all right? All right, so what are some misconceptions there that that Ron Burgundy had about Jesus? Asking if Babe Ruth's in heaven, okay, what else? But what does he expect that Jesus would do? Or what does he think Jesus is like? Yeah, he's got Jesus powers. He's just like he could be a superhero or he could just change life to be, you know, whatever he wants, right? All right, if you were Jesus, would you be tempted to like use your powers for yourself? Perhaps. Yeah, okay. So what other misconceptions do you think he has as he even the way he was asking questions? Well, he thinks Jesus would be a little more laid back, right? Okay, maybe not so serious. He doesn't really expect him that he's God, right? He's kind of treating him, I guess, a little bit disrespectful, wouldn't you say? Slightly? Yeah, all right. Anyway, in your life group later, you're going to try to answer that question a little bit more personal. Like maybe what are some misconceptions you had growing up about Jesus, about God, or about faith? Or maybe even some that your friends might have. Are you guys, Jesus spent a lot of time trying to help his disciples understand who he was. Would you agree that Jesus spent a lot of time trying to help the disciples understand who he really was? And if you turn in your handout, I want to read this story together that's in Luke chapter 9. At the beginning of it, Jesus is feeding the 5,000. And afterward, there's an interesting provocative question that kind of leads to our topic tonight. So if you would follow me on your handout, it says this. Starting in verse 12, it says, "Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, 'Send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here.' He replied, 'Give them something to eat. You give them something to eat.' And they answered, 'We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Unless we go and buy food for all this crowd.' And then there was about 5,000 men that were there, right? But he said to his disciples, 'Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each.' The disciples did so, and everyone sat down, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over." Okay, Jesus does this awesome miracle, right? He multiplies this kid's lunch into food enough to feed a whole hillside of people, right? And there was even leftovers. In verse 18, it goes on. It says, "Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, 'Who do the crowds say that I am?' And they replied, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life.'" So did the crowds really know who Jesus was? No, they're kind of guessing. They're not sure. They know he's different. They know he's got some supernatural power, but they're not quite getting that Jesus was the Messiah, that was God. And then I think it's awesome how Peter responds. It goes on to say, "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Jesus asked the disciples there. And Peter responds, he answers, "God's Messiah." Or another translation would be up here, "You are the Christ of God." You guys, Peter gets it, that it wasn't just a special prophet, a special teacher, a supernatural guy. It was God's chosen one, the Holy One, the Messiah, the one they've been waiting for. Jesus is the Christ. And I guess the challenge, I guess, during the series is to think about this question. Who do you say Jesus is? How would you answer the question? Who do you say Jesus is? Is he really God? Is he really God's son? Is he just a wise moral teacher? Is he just a religious person that died and is gone now. Who is he to you? I guess would be a more challenging question. See, guys, there's a famous author, writer, and Christian theologian and historian. You guys may have heard of C.S. Lewis. He's written lots and lots of books. This is a picture of him, and he wrote a book called Mere Christianity. And in that book, he has this challenge that he kind of says. I wanted to read you a quote from the book that talks about this idea of who is Jesus. And it goes like this. It says, "I'm trying here to prevent anyone from saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him regarding Jesus. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God." Okay, that's what C.S. Lewis feels like is a foolish statement, that Jesus can't just be a moral teacher, and here's why. He says, "That is the one thing we must not say. A man who is merely a man and did the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says that he is a poached egg." It's kind of funny, right? "Or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that door open to us. He did not intend to. And now it seems to me obvious that he was neither a lunatic nor a fiend, and consequently, however strange or terrifying or unlikely it may seem, I have to accept the view that he was and is God." You guys get this idea that C.S. Lewis is arguing that you cannot accept Jesus as a great moral teacher because he's either one of these three things. He's either a liar. If he claimed to be God, but he was just a human guy and he knew he wasn't, then he's just a straight up liar, right? Or if he really, really thought he was God, but he was just whacked out, crazy, messed up on drugs or something, or just weird or whacked or chemically imbalanced, then he's just a lunatic claiming things that were lofty and high that he had no business saying about himself, right? Or what he said about himself was really true, and he is God and the Lord. And so C.S. Lewis makes this claim that he's trying to get people to get off the fence. You either have to decide, is he one of those things or not? But he cannot be just a good person or a good teacher or a wise prophet. He's got to be crazy, mad, a liar, or Jesus is God himself. So think of that for you. How would you answer that question? Or maybe how would some of your friends answer that question? I've got some friends and some people I know in my life that would say, yeah, he's a wise moral teacher. And that's kind of an interesting challenge to say, wow, you know what? That logically doesn't make sense. He's got to be something different. All right, so here's another example in the Bible. This is in John 6. Would somebody directly read what it says in John 6?
"At this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, 'Are you going to leave too?' Simon Peter replied, 'Lord, to whom would we go? You alone have the words that give eternal life. We believe them, and we know that you are the Holy One of God.'"
I don't know if you guys get this. This follows a section of scripture that Jesus was teaching and talking, and it was really tough for people to believe and to grab and to understand. And so if you read the top, look, at this point, people who are following him decided to stop following him and deserted him and left. They said, "This is too much. We will not follow you any longer." And so as people are leaving, Jesus turns to like his 12 homies, right? The guys who are tight with him and following him for the long haul here, and says, "Hey, do you guys want to leave too? Because there's the door." Or if maybe they're outside. And he's like, "Look, there's the path. You want to walk away, go ahead and walk away." And Jesus kind of made it easy. If people really didn't want to follow him, he didn't chase them down. And I love what Peter speaks up and says this: "Lord, where would we go? What other thing would we follow? Where else would we go? Who else would we follow?" Because he's convinced that you alone have the words of eternal life, and we believe them, and we know that you are the Holy One of God, which is awesome statement coming from Peter. You know, it's wild. In another section of scripture, I don't know if you guys know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Sometimes they're telling a similar story from a different perspective or a different angle. So this story shows up in a couple different books, right? Matthew, Mark, and Luke, I think, all have similar ones as well. It's in the passage you read earlier, too. But Jesus goes on and says, look, God has revealed to you who I am. And then he goes on further and says, Peter, I'm going to build my church on you. And he renames him Cephas, which means rock. And he says, and on this rock, I'm going to build my church. And he goes on and says how Peter is going to be instrumental in helping build what God is doing in building the church. Here's what's wild. The disciples could have left at that point. Are you with me? Like, if Jesus really wasn't God and he was just some, you know, regular human guy or even, you know, a famous prophet, they could have stopped following him at that point. They could have walked away, and they don't. They choose to follow him. You know, 11 of them do. Obviously, Judas never fully believed and betrays him later. But I guess it's this. The first point is this. It's easy to miss the real Jesus. You guys, the disciples struggled with it, and they got it here. All right, you guys, here's the next part. How well do you know Jesus? There's a book that's been around for a little bit called Wild at Heart. This guy, John Eldridge, writes a book kind of about the heart and soul of a man and what makes him tick and kind of leading a life of adventure, a faith journey and leading your family toward God. But I wanted to read a quote to you from the book that says this. It's kind of an interesting perspective about God, all right? John Eldridge says, I am convinced beyond a doubt of this, that God wants to be loved. He wants to be a priority to someone. How could we have missed this? From cover to cover, from beginning to end, the cry of God, God's heart is, why won't you choose me? It's amazing to me how humble, how vulnerable God is on this point. You will find me, says the Lord, when you seek me with all your heart, in Jeremiah 29:13. In other words, look for me, pursue me. I want you to pursue me. Amazing. And as A.W. Tozer says, God waits to be wanted. What do you guys think of that? God wants you to want him. He wants you to choose him. He wants you to love him. I got to be honest. I hadn't really thought about God in those terms. I always kind of, God is kind of self-sufficient, self-sustaining. He is love. He's all-powerful. He's almighty. He doesn't need anybody, right? But I hadn't really seen God as this more personal side of, wow, he wants to know Larry. Or, wow, he wants to know Colton. Or, wow, he wants to know Cheyenne. Okay, like, to make it that personal, wow, he wants Caleb and Micah and all of you in the room to know Jesus. He wants to be in a friendship with you. And I just hadn't pictured it in those kind of softer words, almost like a lonely friend. I don't really think of God like that. He doesn't need us necessarily, but he wants us to choose him, right? And you know what? He spends a lot of time watching people choose other things. You guys ever had that feeling before? Anybody ever chose someone else over you? That's not a fun feeling. I mean, I don't care if it's like gym class and you get picked last, or if it's like a boyfriend-girlfriend thing and the person you like chooses someone else. I mean, those are like heartbreaking moments sometimes, or embarrassing moments, right? When you're not picked or not chosen. That hurts, right? I just hadn't pictured this view of God. And this is just an author writing. This isn't the Bible. But to have this thought of, wow, you know what? What if God just desperately wants you to choose him and to care for him and to love him. Not that he has to, and not that he's incapable of moving on without it, but I just really hadn't seen God as that vulnerable as I don't know, and personal. It kind of meant something to me when I took a look at it. You guys, I guess the challenge is in this whole thing is to think about ways that God wants to know us to know him better. Can I tell you a story about when I was at the beach? About a year ago, I was in Florida. I was in the beach, and it was my sabbatical. I was off for the whole summer, and you guys were all chilling and hanging here. And I think I showed you some pictures. I was trying to learn how to surf and boogie board with my kids, and we were having a great time in the ocean. But there's a few days that I just went down to the ocean, and I was So I was at the ocean, and I was alone, and I was just bothered. I was bothered by life. I was bothered by some things that had happened to me. I was bothered by things I'd seen God allow in people's lives, hard things, to watch other families go through difficult stuff, and wondering, why did God allow such and such things to happen? And I got to be honest, one of the big questions I was having was, is God good? I felt like some of the things I'd seen in life lately were making me question his goodness. And more specifically to me personally, why he'd allowed some circumstances and things in my life to happen. And I was really, can I be just totally sincere with you guys? I was holding a grudge against God about stuff that he had allowed to happen to me. And I was mad. And I remember being out in the ocean, and I remember the waves coming in, and when I was learning to surf, I kept trying to fight out into the surf with this big surfboard, trying to get over the breaking waves to get to the ones that weren't breaking yet so that we could ride them, right? And it was a stormy day, and I just kept fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting. It took so much energy to get out to the deep that by the time I got there, I was so worn out, I hardly had any energy left to catch the wave to ride, right? And so I kind of said, all right, fine, I'm going to take a break. And so I'm floating in the water, and these waves are coming in, and I just felt like God was like, look, Larry, stop fighting the current. Stop fighting the waves. Stop fighting the undertow of the ocean and just float. Just stop fighting so that he could talk to me. So I just felt like in my heart and in my mind, I felt like he was just speaking to me. And one of the things he was saying to me was, did you think it wouldn't be hard? And I'm kind of floating there thinking, well, yes, I guess I kind of thought following God might be easier, if I was honest. And he's like, well, did you think it wasn't a battle? I'm like, well, no, I knew it was a battle to follow God. And then he was like, well, did you think if you were in the battle that you wouldn't get hurt? And I thought about it, and I'm like, well, yeah, I kind of thought you'd protect me. I mean, if I'm just being totally honest. And this is just me having a conversation in my head, right, out in the water. And he's like, well, Larry, look, it's a battle. You're going to get injured, but don't give up. Like, you're going to fall down. You're going to get hurt. It's a fight, but you can get back up. And look, it wasn't that I wasn't protecting you. It was the nature of following God sometimes is difficult. And sometimes you get hurt. And sometimes you get beat up. And sometimes you might feel like God didn't have your back. And that's kind of what I was wrestling with. So I just wanted to share just a little bit from me to say, you know what? God, even now, as an adult, as your friend, as your youth leader, is still challenging my view of Jesus, my view of God, my view of how he lives and works and acts in my life. And I got to be honest, I was kind of out of place. Who am I to accuse God, to be bitter with God, to hold a grudge against God? That's kind of stupid, right? If you think about it, he's God. But I kind of needed to let that go and say, okay, God, I don't understand at all, but I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to stop fighting these waves and start to, I guess, lean on him more was kind of the idea. All right, guys, this is kind of me just sharing, like, how well do you know Jesus? I share that story to say, you know what? I am still learning about God and about faith and about the journey. And sometimes it doesn't match my experience. And I'm trying to wrestle with that and figure that out. All right, so sorry, we missed the verse here. You will find this in your handout. It says this, Jeremiah 29:13, you will find me, says the Lord, when you seek me with all your heart. All right, here's the last section. This one's a little more interactive, okay? I'm going to have you pair up, and here's what you're going to do. Guys, I want you to pair up with each other. Girls, I want you to pair up with each other. And if we end up with odd numbers, you can have a group of three. Your partner is going to stand on this end of the room, shoulder to shoulder, facing that way. And your buddy is going to be down there by the cafe counter facing this way. And you're going to look at each other, okay? And you're going to have a little note card. And on your note card, you're just going to write down descriptive things about that person. Not mean stuff, but like things that you can see from that far away, okay? You're going to write down like maybe their hair color, eye color, or style, or whatever, like appearance-wise. You might even put down some character things if you know them. That's cool. So that's step one. You got that? So go ahead and stand up, find a buddy, and then you're going to, each of you go across the room, okay? All right, here's part two, okay? Here's part two. Turn your paper over, okay? Now you're going to stand 2 feet away from that person, okay? Go find them, and you're going to get right in their face. And now you're going to write down as many descriptive things as you can about them, okay? Again, guys should be paired up with guys, girls paired up with girls, okay? Yeah, get about 2 feet away from that person, and maybe you could be more descriptive this time. All right, you guys are like 4 feet apart. You got to take a step close. Yeah, it's got to be slightly awkward, okay? Slightly awkward, and you're going to be descriptive, okay? But not mean. Don't be like, oh, you have a giant red zit on your forehead. That's mean, okay? Don't be like, your breath smells like the garbage can. All right, maybe some details you missed before. I don't want to know what's stuck in their teeth, okay? All right. You guys do not have to change papers. That was just simply for yourself, okay? If you want to share it, you can, but I hope that it's kind, okay? All right, but I need your attention up here because I know you're trying to compare notes. Like, oh, I saw your hair, or I saw your ear, or I saw whatever. All right, I have a question for you. What changed as you got closer to that person? You can see their eye color better. There you go. You could see they had a nose. Was it kind of, you couldn't tell they had one before, huh? Or maybe the shape of it? Oh, okay. The difference between watching someone in high definition versus regular. You can see, well, Kaylee, because you can see what more details, right? Well, you can see water dripping off the helmets like you couldn't see before, like in a football game or something like that. Yeah, okay, what else? What changed as you got closer? You could see their breath, because that's a problem. You could smell, yeah, sure, their breath. All right, was it awkward? Raise your hand if you had an awkward moment at all. Okay, a few of you, okay. What else? Well, what was it like from far away? Could you be as specific as you want it to be? Maybe a little more hard, maybe a little more challenging, right? All right, anybody notice something different about someone's face when you got closer? Their smile? Okay. Their teeth? The food in their teeth? I don't know. Which one did you like better? Did you like being far away or did you like being close? All right, raise your hand if you liked being far away. Raise your hand if you liked being close. All right, now, why in the world would I have you do that? There you go. It's about this analogy to Jesus, right? So if Jesus is across the room, metaphorically, right? If you're far from him, harder to know him and describe him, right? If you're closer with Jesus, you're going to know him better. You're going to see him more clearly in more detail. You guys get the idea? So the point is this, how are you and God doing? Are you guys far apart? Are you guys somewhere in the middle? Are you guys close? And this whole series, the whole point is take a step forward. Take a step, move toward Jesus in the next 6 to 8 weeks here, okay? Know him better, step closer. But I'll warn you, like for me in the ocean that day, it was hard to be that honest with God. To tell God that I was disappointed with him. I mean, that's insane, right? But I'm having a moment. And then he's like, fine, if you're going to be honest, I'm going to be honest with you. You're not walking with me close enough. You need to be closer with me. And you need to stop fighting all this stuff and let me lead your life more. Okay, like, are you guys get the idea? If you move toward Jesus, it's going to be awesome. But it also might be more challenging, right? Yeah. All right, would you pray with me? God, I got to be honest, I think a lot of us in the room would say, maybe we don't know you as well as we could. So God, would you teach us more about yourself? Jesus, would you reveal more of yourself to us? Would you help us to understand you better, to know you better? And God, would you give us the strength and courage to take a step forward, to draw closer to you physically and to learn more about you? God, would you help us to connect with you? Would you help us to be honest with you in our conversations and in our prayer time? Would you help us to listen to what you might have to say to us? Would you challenge us? And would you shape us and mold us? Would you chisel away at the stuff that isn't who you want us to be? And would you make us more like you? God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.